Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Awesome Mania. It's me, Mike, with my good friend and your undisputed champion, Mr. Ben Taylor.
Hello, it's Ben.
That's you.
It's me.
It's you. So Ben, we recorded last week.
Yeah.
Because we had to do our Elimination Chamber recap.
Yep.
And you had to vent about Raw.
Yeah, I wasn't happy. And I would like to point out...
This goes right into news and notes, so it's perfect.
I'd like to point out that since we recorded that episode, the WWE themselves have shat all over that crowd. Hashtag 18+ podcast.
Yes. So, yeah, goes right into news and notes. One of the first things we can talk about is Pat McAfee, who was recently signed by the WWE to do digital content and stuff like that, did what is, I believe, called the Mind of McAfee, where he literally just crapped on the Lafayette, Louisiana crowd for, hey, guess what? We're debuting these four top NXT guys. You people suck. There's like... And then they point out, oh, well, there's these three to four guys we'll give credit to because they are chanting, you deserve it, to Bayley and Sasha. So they at least tried. So, yeah, that was actually kind of funny. The fact that WWE even openly acknowledged that, you guys...
This would be the same Sasha and Bayley that apparently deserve it but can't cut promos because did you know they are the first tag team champions? Not the first ever WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, which isn't even true because Glamour Girls and Jumping Bomb Angels. But yeah, you should go back and listen to what Bayley actually said.
Yeah, kind of like also with TJP being the first ever Cruiserweight Champion, when Hornswoggle was hands down the last one to hold the title.
That was the light heavyweight title.
No, that was the Cruiserweight title.
Huh.
Like, remember, because during the invasion angle back in 2001, they merged...
Well, the thing is they're trying to use the quantifier WWE. Because the old were the WWF Women's Tag Team Champions or the WWF Cruiserweight Championship.
Yeah, but that Cruiserweight Championship went all the way up to, like, what, 2012?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That would involve me paying attention to something Hornswoggle does.
So in news and notes, Batista returned to WWE.
I would like to talk about the murder that nobody's talking about.
Okay, bring it up.
So when Ric Flair arrived at Raw, right, he arrived with his wife. Then when Batista dragged Ric out of his dressing room, she was nowhere to be fucking found. Has anybody found her? Also, and this might just be me, right? Let's talk about Charlotte's last couple of weeks, right? Single-handedly handpicked by Vince McMahon to replace Becky Lynch in the WrestleMania match with Ronda Rousey. The next week, cuts an excellent promo. Gets attacked by Becky Lynch at Elimination Chamber. Monday, not even invited to her own dad's birthday party. SmackDown comes out, doesn't even mention that Batista beat her dad up. The fuck, Charlotte?
And we'll talk more about that when we get to the road to WrestleMania in the McMahons, because there is a lot to talk about in that regard. Batista does come back. He beats up Old Man Flair and says, do I have your attention now, Triple H?
Hunter,
yeah. So obviously this is the build to the WrestleMania 35 match, which is also the match that Batista has openly said several times wants to be his send-off match in WWE and for pro wrestling, because he's obviously making that transition to Hollywood. And from the reports that we've been reading, he will be on Raw this upcoming Monday, and he will also be filming a movie at the same time while doing these appearances leading up to WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So, thoughts on Batista? Because that's obviously the biggest news thing, because
it makes sense.
It wasn't short.
For them both. It makes some sense for them both. I mean, it makes sense for Batista to come back because WrestleMania will be huge, and that's where you want to have your blow-off match with Triple H, even though you're likely to lose because Triple H wins at WrestleMania, lol, right? Ask Sting. But it also makes sense for the WWE, because what comes out a couple of days, a couple of weeks before?
After
WrestleMania?
Yeah, it comes out
Avengers.
The Friday of Awesome Con, it comes out. Yeah. Well, technically the Thursday before Awesome Con, because you know there's going to be Thursday night release.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously that's going to be huge with Avengers Endgame, though the rub on that is going to be amazing. And actually, it's funny that you bring up Avengers Endgame, because one of the memes that went around social media was Triple H and Batista in the ring from SmackDown 1000, and it's Dave. How did you get here? Nobody knew you were here. And underneath, it's him as Drax going, I have mastered the ability of being invisible or invisible. Yeah. So that was, I like how they did the little mashup there, meme-wise. Another interesting note, WWE Hall of Famer Rikishi had some interesting comments about his sons, the Usos, about worrying about their bodies long term because of the wear and tear that they have on their bodies. What are your thoughts on that, coming from somebody who literally traveled 300 days a year to seeing it now, where, you know, it's a little bit modified but not completely modified?
Duh.
That's
kind of dismissive of Rikishi's comments, right? But you're talking about a sport, a physical sport, where you a physical medium, where you travel around the country for 250 days a year and beat yourself up. I mean, players in the NFL get like 90% of the year off and have problems later on in their lives, right? There's also the big thing with the fact that people that work for the WWE aren't employees. They don't have health insurance. Things like that. So this is, it's interesting that he's the one bringing it up, but it's old news, bruh.
Yeah, but
And that's not to be dismissive.
Right. And then to end news and notes, because there wasn't really a lot of news and notes, but this one's a little bit more local. MCW Pro Wrestling, the weekend before WrestleMania, March 31st, which is a Sunday, at 1 p.m., doors will open, and they will be having an exclusive meet and greet with Corey Graves and Renee Young. And then the bell time will be at 2:30 p.m. for that show. Week before Mania, obviously it makes sense because Washington, D.C. is the go-home Raw the very next day.
Yep.
So what are your thoughts on two WWE talents making an appearance at an indie show doing a meet and greet that are on the main card? Not like NXT, where you see NXT guys on Evolve or the NXT UK people on Progressive and stuff, or Progress and stuff like that. What are your thoughts on that?
Just shrug it.
All right, but it's good, though.
Is it?
Good for MCW.
Is it?
It's going to bring people in.
Is it?
Yeah. Being how I've been at some shows where they brought in, like, Four Horsemen, Hardys, stuff like that.
But how do I put this diplomatically? They're bringing in commentators, right?
Right.
the advantage of bringing in a four horseman or an outsider or I don't know, some other legend, is that there is a possibility that said legend may do a spinebuster or a figure four at some point, right? You're bringing in two talents that do all their work on a microphone. And yeah, sure, it's nice that they're going to have Corey and Renee, right? But if you wondered why it's not other people, because if they have the relationship to bring in Corey and Renee, do they not have the relationship to bring a Tommaso Ciampa or I don't know.
I think this may be the beginning. Try it out with the announcers and then work your way to the talents. But to also to your point, this is also part of the Spring Fever tour for MCW.
Yeah.
Other shows for Spring Fever, one in Hollywood, Maryland, featuring Kevin Nash and Coco Beware. Mm-hmm. And then one in Hampstead, Maryland, which is at North Carroll High School, which is actually not that far from where I live, with Jimmy Hart, Hornswoggle, and blanking on the third person. And it'll come to mind later on, but Mick Foley, and they're going to have Mick Foley. So they are bringing in Hall of Famers to the other shows of their Spring Fever tour. So, and then moving on to one of our big topics, Roman Reigns.
But Dave Meltzer did publish today or say in the newsletter today that it is apparently Tommaso Ciampa is working through an injury that they don't know the severity of. And it is possible that he's going to need to take another significant chunk of time off, which they're trying very hard to put off until after New York.
Yes, because we all know that match is going to be fucking amazing. And also keep in mind, Ciampa going into a big takeover got injured before the takeover, mm-hmm. and then actually made it worse at the takeover at the same time, but did not miss a freaking beat. That man is a machine. Yep.
That's the
latest.
Yeah, that's the one thing I wanted to mention, other than Becky Lynch committing murder on Twitter.
Oh, we'll get to that part. I'm saving that part for the third segment. But
okay.
Yeah. But next up, we have Roman Reigns. Came back Monday night. Announced that his leukemia has gone into remission, which is great news. And word is now coming out that the first person to find out, obviously, was Vince McMahon. And then after Vince and Roman had talks about it, Roman was actually the one who wanted to come back early. Vince actually had the idea of wanting to bring him back after Mania because it would be a much bigger pop. And let's be honest. Roman Reigns comes out the night after WrestleMania and announces that his leukemia is in remission. You would pop hard for that, because that would just be...
Yeah, the decision, the way that they did it, faced a lot of criticism. Like, a lot of criticism.
I know one of it was that they felt that it was too soon.
No, the main thing is that the main complaint was why announce it? Why announce a week out that Roman's coming back? Just have him show up. Get the surprise pop. Right? Because if you announce he's coming, everyone's ready for it. Right? Or they have a chance to think, do I really want to see Roman right now? Or they have the chance to go, oh shit, he's coming out for the time. Right?
Yeah.
The biggest criticism was why even announce it? second biggest criticism was why now?
And that was Roman's decision. Roman wanted to come back now. Which, you know, in hindsight, you know, looking at it now, you know, it's like, okay, cool. It's WrestleMania season, like we said with Batista. You want to be part of it. Which he already was, because he was going to be at Access. But one thing that I was reading is a lot of people were very critical of the fact of Roman's appearance. Because they're going, oh, if you're real, because some people are going, oh, it was fake. Let's be brutally honest. Leukemia can act differently compared to other cancers, especially when it comes to treatment.
There was actually a leukemia
survivor.
No. There was a leukemia specialist charity that did like a 17 post Twitter thread that was all about how Roman could look like he looked. Like, yes, he has hair. You know who doesn't lose all of their hair? Not every leukemia survivor. Like, it's like that. It affects everyone differently.
Yeah, and actually one leukemia survivor actually did chime in on it too, saying, hey, I'm an example too, and actually posted photos of him saying, this was me going into my leukemia treatments, this is me during my leukemia treatments, and then this is me after my leukemia treatments.
Yep.
You know, every case is different. I know my best friend Scott, he lost his father to leukemia, and you know, his father didn't lose, I mean, his father lost weight because of the treatments, but he didn't lose his hair. You know, he still had his hair. And, you know, and the people saying...
And you could see Roman had lost a lot of muscle mass.
Yeah. Yeah, because he had just started retraining.
He lost from his muscles. He didn't lose from his head of hair. Like, he wasn't nearly as defined or as buff as before.
Yeah, he slimmed down a little bit because of it. But I think that the fact that people are going out and saying, oh, WWE fabricated this, blah, blah, blah. Yo, that's like some of the most insensitive shit you can do.
Yeah, fuck them people.
Yeah.
I don't even want to fucking talk about them. Like, give them the
No. But the next thing is...
Fuck
is
those people. Let's move on.
WrestleMania for Roman Reigns. So according to reports, I believe it was PW Insider, was stating that there are multiple options on the table for not just Roman Reigns, but John Cena as well. Because obviously John Cena was supposed to go up against Lars Sullivan, then the anxiety attacks took place. You have Seth versus Brock for the title. They want Roman in a match. Roman's training for that match. He's going to be doing every Raw leading up to sometime in mid-May. He's also going to be doing the UK tour after Mania. But he's not doing house shows. How are you booking? How do you think WWE might book Roman Reigns going into Mania? And what type of match do you think he'll have?
Now, is it how do I think WWE will book them or what I think they should do?
Will
do?
Yeah.
They will shove him down our throats at every opportunity. Until we're booing him again. The goodwill that he's got right now can only take him so far.
Right. And we do know that there's a report that it's going to be the Shield versus Bobby Lashley, Baron Corbin, and Drew McIntyre at Fastlane. Whether or not Braun Strowman and Elias are added to that match is remain to be seen. So we're going to get at least one Shield reunion, especially with the fact that Dean Ambrose is leaving after Mania. So the sum of this with Roman Reigns...
What I think they should do?
Yes.
He should just fuck off again.
Just disappear?
They should fuck off again. They should show us... they should show us vignettes of him being at the Performance Center and training to get back into ring shape. And then he should appear at WrestleMania and spear Brock Lesnar out of his fucking stupid little boots and help Seth win the title and then come back to full in-ring competition the night after Mania Rumble.
So, which we know that would be great, I think what they could do is Roman versus Dean at Mania. Because, I mean, well, think about it. The story is actually there.
But I don't care about either of them at this point. So, first of all, why are we getting the Shield versus these three fucks, right? Didn't the last time we have all of the Shield together, several hours later, Dean turn on Seth and go, Roman deserved to have leukemia because we did naughty things when we were a group. Ooh, I'm a Republican now. And then I'm going to become Bane from Batman for a while.
Now he sees goofy self again.
Yeah. It's like, that needs explaining. Because the obvious thing at this point, they could do Dean and Roman, right? And the setup is him attacking him at Fastlane. But it's so fucking obvious. It truly pains me to think that that's all the development they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, think of things of developing actually pretty well and enjoyable to an extent, depending on who you are.
Yeah.
The Road to WrestleMania and Vince McMahon. Oh, Vince, what are you doing to WrestleMania? Because, so, as you mentioned, when we were talking about Ric Flair's birthday, mm-hmm. Charlotte wasn't even invited to her own father's birthday, apparently, or she told her dad to go fuck off. But a few weeks ago, Becky Lynch, after getting the approval from Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, got her match back with Ronda Rousey. Vince McMahon comes out and goes, you know what? You're suspended for 60 days. And Charlotte Flair is going to take your spot. Fast forward to this past Tuesday. You have Kofi Kingston out to sign the contract to face Daniel Bryan at Fastlane for the WWE title. Only for Vince McMahon to come out and say, Kofi, you're not going to be in this match. This man is. And it's the returning Kevin Owens. To which Stephanie and Shane look flabbergasted in the ring going, what the hell are you doing? This man has earned it. In regards to Kofi.
Yeah, that was a bit weird.
So, something that you had mentioned to me a while back was for Ronda versus Charlotte versus Becky.
When I say mentioned, I mean made a joke about and then kind of cried because it could possibly be true.
For that match specifically, you said a McMahon in every corner. Could that be the WWE title instead of the women's championship?
Why would it be?
Well, Vince McMahon obviously is backing Kevin Owens. You had Shane McMahon essentially. Well, Shane McMahon will probably be off in another match with The Miz. But you would technically have Shane behind Kofi Kingston. And then Daniel Bryan would have somebody else. But it's probably
but who would be so behind Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, I don't think that would work out so well, like the way the women's title match was. But they don't need the McMahons in the women's title match.
They don't need him at Monza. Hey, fucking match. I kind of like right. I'm going to get fucking roasted for this by someone I know. But I kind of like the Vince thing, right? I kind of think that he's on the power trip craze. I know that we were told we're the authority and all that bollocks, right? But he's Vince McMahon. He's a fucking liar, right? He's also fucking off to start doing the XFL eventually, right? So they got to get a way to write him off telly. So I think him getting the power craze thing going on works. In fact, you know what they should do? They should, on Raw on Monday, right? Vince McMahon should come out and remove Seth Rollins from the title match against Brock Lesnar and put Roman Reigns in.
That's going to get Roman booed for sure.
And I'm not saying that things stay that way, right? But I'm saying they need to keep this. If this is a gimmick that they're doing with Vince, right? They need to keep it moving. They need to keep it happening. Unfortunately, they did the Kofi thing and the Charlotte thing really close together. Right?
Yep.
So, unfortunately, that it shows that you've got to have something every so often. If they could have waited a little while for the Kofi thing, then they could have waited another little while to do the Roman Reigns thing. And they wouldn't have to keep up this Vince is a busybody kind of thing. So, well,
I think one thing that's interesting is that the removal of Becky is from the WrestleMania match itself.
Yeah.
Whereas with Kofi Kingston, he was removed from Fastlane.
Yeah.
And I think with Kofi being removed from Fastlane, being denied that opportunity, it's going to make it more, it's going to get the crowd more behind him and really demand, kind of like the way with Daniel Bryan going into WrestleMania 30, to have Kofi Kingston be in that match for the WWE title at WrestleMania. And it's literally going to, and it's something where it could literally be a Shane and Stephanie versus Vince scenario.
I think that's going to be Survivor Series.
Because that'll be right before the XFL truly starts. That'll like be months before. Because the XFL, I believe, is starting February 2020.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So if you get them out at Survivor Series 2019, that'll get them out just in time for the XFL. Mm-hmm. So,
I am.
Alrighty, so Ben.
Sorry about that, folks, but medical needs get in the way, unfortunately.
Yep.
But we are talking about the Path to Wrestle. As I do believe Little Richard called it WrestleMania. Not WrestleMania, WrestleMania.
Well, on our way to WrestleMania, I do believe there's been a murder.
There's been several, mostly committed by Becky Lynch, let's be fair.
Becky is on fire, and I just fucking love it.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, an interesting thing is that with the whole mugshot thing that came out, and WWE saying, oh, who would like to see this on a t-shirt? And Becky was like, me, bail money, you know?
Well, no, she, because it came out that she paid her own bail, right?
Yeah.
Paid her own bail money. For those of you that only listen, I'm doing the air quote remarks. It was quite clear that her mugshot was taken in the fucking hallway.
And Rhonda called her out for it, calling it fake. And it's like, bro, what? Rhonda, we don't be using that F word around here, young lady. So,
and Becky's like, why don't you come back when you're better at the sport and posts a picture of Tommy Wiseau in the room.
But it's Rhonda's face on it.
So funny.
And then actually, there was another one where Rhonda's in the Disarm Her by Becky in the backstage, right? Going leading in the Survivor Series. And Rhonda said something along the lines of, actually, I sent it to you, so let me just pull it up super fast.
She says, it's as fake as your armbar, which doesn't actually fucking do anything and makes it look like you're holding on to the dick you wish you had.
Yeah, I was like, yeah,
At which point, Becky responded by going, huh, it kind of does look like a dick, and replaced Rhonda's fist with the picture of her husband's face.
Rhonda responded. Rhonda responded with, Rebecca Quinn, I don't care what the script says, I'm beating the living shit out of you next time I see you.
Okay.
that was apparently 4 hours ago, but when some of the responses that we have seen, holy shit. Like, some people are going, you're dead. Just stop, Ronda. Just stop.
It's like you don't get in a Twitter fight with Becky. Just don't do it.
Yeah, and not only that, but one of the interesting things is that the promo that Ronda did on Monday night, where she literally just put the title down on the mat in front of Stephanie McMahon's feet. It was Ronda's best promo so far, okay. But Paul Heyman was the person that was working that promo because he worked with her behind the scenes all day leading up to that show.
So there's an analogy I like to use here. That yes, this was her best promo. Her second best promo to date. Her best promo was the Nikki Bella promo. Right?
Yep.
The best promo was the Nikki Bella promo by far. However, just being better than her normal promo doesn't make it a good promo.
Nope.
a slightly smaller pile of shit than a big pile of shit is still a really big pile of shit.
And the quote, Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park.
That's a lot of big pile of shit.
So,
she rushes through her podcast too much. She doesn't know how to talk. She's almost as bad as Bailey is on the microphone. And in fact, I'd say she's worse because at least you can understand the words that Bailey says. They're just not good words.
Yeah, like the one time when it was Alexa Bliss doing This Is Your Life for Bailey, and Alexa just owned her.
Yeah.
Hands down owned Bailey. In that segment.
Speaking of Alexa Bliss, I am quite enjoying, even though it's giving me slight flashbacks to the Attitude Era, I am quite enjoying Thirsty Alexa.
Oh yeah, with Finn.
She did it with EC3, now she's doing it with Finn. I'm quite enjoying that whole...
It's interesting. And it also begs the question, because I forget who posted the article, but it's they're also begging the question, is Alexa going to wrestle again? And if so, when?
He's been posting videos of her working with Mike Quackenbush.
Yeah.
So I'd say yes. As for when, I don't know.
Yeah.
Alexa's more valuable to that division on the microphone at the moment because there are like three people in the entire division that can work a stick.
It's definitely not Lacey Evans.
No.
Definitely not Lacey Evans.
She can't even work a crowd. Holy shit. The fact that she keeps coming down and leaving again is like the biggest attempt at a face turn I've ever seen. Because people don't want to see her.
So, where do you see her right now, getting back on topic?
Where was
WrestleMania, where do you see the McMahons outside Triple H versus Batista? We know that has happened.
Hopefully in the... Shane's bound to have a match with The Miz at some point, right?
Yeah. So, outside that... Where do you see the McMahon?
Where do I see Steph and Vince?
That's probably the best question to ask because we know essentially where Shane and Triple H are going to be in this.
I'm going to guess Steph will be ringside for Trips' match. I'm guessing. But hopefully in the fucking locker room. Hopefully this whole interference thing has been done and dusted by that point. The only place that I could conceivably see Vince is Becky giving him the finger holding up the title at the end of the show. Right?
That would be nice. It would be like very Stone Cold ass, because that's the vibe we're getting out of this.
Well, yes and no. When Stone Cold invaded and shit like that, it felt like he was doing unprecedented shit, like beer trucks and fucking Zambonis and shit like that. And Becky just feels like she's showing up to cause trouble. She doesn't like she's got a purpose or is doing anything unique with it.
So. Well, let's be honest. With the way the stage is set up, it's kind of difficult to bring out a Zamboni or a beer truck or something like that.
But they could be doing other things with her. They don't have to have her constantly rushing the fucking ring. Right?
Maybe go into the production trucks and...
Have her like... Like, have them discover her, like, sitting in the production truck, both feet up on the fucking thing, Kevin Dunn knocked out in the fucking corner, eating popcorn. Right? Have her show up, legitimately show up, with a front row seat and sit there for the whole show.
With a ticket in hand.
With a ticket. She has a ticket. Right? Just sit there.
Just chilling.
Wear a Ronda Rousey t-shirt, like have her be a proper like just front row fan, and then in a match have like Ronda be the initiator, have Charlotte be the initiator, don't have Becky initiate shit. They could be doing lots of things with Becky, but they're not
yet. We still have time.
Same old bollocks.
We still have time, so we can still hold out hope. But it is the WWE that we're talking about here.
And now, it feels like with Becky Lynch, they're doing all of the versus the authority storylines at the same time. Right? Because they're doing the Stone Cold thing where they keep having her arrested. And then they're doing the thing where, well, you're just not good enough, so we're going to put someone better in. You're a B-plus player kind of thing. And now they're doing the fucking... what was the other one? The CM Punk thing. It's like, oh, you're the voice of the voiceless, and it's just he's a, like with John Cena, like CM Punk got suspended for his title match, and John Cena was like, no, Punk earned this title match, blah blah blah. Seeing that with Ronda and Becky, right?
And that's essentially what Ronda's promo was about on Monday.
I know that was the point. That's what I was trying to get. Is it's just the retreading.
So, moving on to fantasy booking. It was announced this week that the Honky Tonk Man is going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And it is, the strong rumors is that the Hart Foundation of Bret Hart, Bret Hart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and Jimmy Hart will be the three that will go in as the Hart Foundation. Mm-hmm. And an interesting note, Taz going into the WWE Hall of Fame. Hmm. Outside that, the rest is unknown. So with that, because we are in WrestleMania season, and one of the big things that I enjoy is the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
We are going to build our own Hall of Fame class. And for those of you who are watching us on Twitch in the pregame, Saul, Ben, and I do some bantering back and forth about this.
Yeah.
So we kind of have decided in a way that we're going to name five foundation pieces that you have to have automatic Hall of Fame.
No, we didn't.
Damn it, for the sake of entertainment, okay,
so
we are.
So here's what happened, right? Mike contacts me and goes, here's what the Hall of Fame is going to be this week. You have to start the Ben Taylor Wrestling Hall of Fame.
And I'll be doing the Michael Lindenbaum
one. He'll do the Michael Lindenbaum one. And that's all he gave me. Right?
He said, to give me credit, I was also about to step in the yoga class at the time, too. So
I sent him a message earlier today, like, okay, do I have to pretend like the WWE Hall of Fame doesn't exist?
And me being at work goes, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Right. So we get on the call today, and I'm like, I'm a bit worried that given that we're starting Hall of Fames, there are some automatic inclusions that everyone that like just must be in, right?
Yeah,
like they must be in, which is gonna make our list a little bit samey. And then all of a sudden now he's like, we're gonna establish five people with a month. No, we're not, because I'm prepped for this fucking thing, and you're not having like, you're not suddenly cutting out five people from my choices.
Fine, well, we're gonna go with the original game plan, and one of the plans is that we are going to try to make this like an annual thing. Maybe
or even more regular than that.
Well, maybe what we could do is we could do it for the Big Four.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, like the big, every time we have a Big Four pay-per-view, we do a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And then we'll be essentially caught up or have more people than the WWE. So, Mr. Taylor, because you have prepped and prepped and prepped.
I hope you have too.
Oh, I have. I just.
So who is your first?
So
not your headliner.
No, no, that that's
first inductee.
So my first inductee, non-headliner, would actually be, as I'm blanking, would be Bobby the Brain Heenan. I would go with Bobby the Brain Heenan. And the reason for it is because he is legitimately one of the greatest managers of all time. He can work the microphone so well. And then not only that, but after his time as a manager was over, becoming the announcer that he was, doing the commentary with Gorilla Monsoon and then eventually Vince McMahon. I mean, it's just, you go back and you watch that stuff on the WWE Network and you just go, this shit's amazing. It's so much better than a lot of the shit that we get today.
Yep. Bobby's on my list as well.
Yeah. So you gotta go with Bobby the Brain Heenan.
However, who have you got inducting Bobby the Brain Heenan?
Ooh. So for him?
Because I was also told we would get extra points.
Yes.
For our inductors.
Yes. So for me, if you're gonna be putting in possibly the greatest manager of all time, you need to have the greatest advocate of all time.
I did the same thing!
We didn't even talk about this shit, so... But yeah, I'd have Paul Heyman do the induction of Bobby the Brain Heenan because, again, the greatest manager gets inducted by the greatest advocate of all time. Because when you look at today, nobody can touch Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
And not only that, but Paul Heyman learned a lot from Bobby the Brain, too.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna put Bobby as my first, but Bobby is on my list, and I have him inducted by Paul Heyman as well.
All right, so who is your first? Well, technically now second, well, because we already know. First.
Like who's my next pick? Now I've cheated slightly.
He said, my next pick, like, for the draft.
Yeah, because it's my pick for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I've cheated slightly in that I'm technically putting in, like, 11 people.
Okay.
But we'll get to that. My next pick is Gorilla Monsoon.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon are the greatest commentary team of all time. And he will be inducted by the second greatest commentator in WWE history, Jim Ross.
Nice. Nice. That's really good. See, I didn't have Monsoon on mine.
I was originally going to induct Heenan and Monsoon as a team. But when you said you had Bobby Heenan, I mean, I can quickly add it. In fact, like, yeah, no, we'll leave it like this, but I can, but yeah, just.
Remember, double Hall of Famers.
Now question, is answer. This the Ben Taylor and Michael Lindenbaum Hall of Fame, or is this the Awesome Mania Hall of Fame?
I think at this point, I think it's now the Awesome Mania Hall of Fame, okay. Because we're pretty much thinking the same people.
All right. So will be Gorilla Monsoon.
All right.
By JR.
All right, I'm writing that down, because what I'm also going to do is on our website, I'm going to create a subsection, which will be the Awesomania Hall of Fame. So next up on my list, I actually went into the celebrity wing. I told you I kind of took some stuff from WWE. I created a little celebrity wing. You're like, you son of a bitch. I knew you did this.
No, I actually want a wrestling Hall of Fame.
I get my one. Just my one. Because it's the only time I'm ever going to probably get this, damn it.
Other than the next time we do it.
Okay, fine. I'll hold it up until next time.
No, you can do it. Do it now.
All right.
But my point is you can do a celebrity wing every time we do this if you want.
Yeah. All right. But my...
Starting a Hall of Fame,
yeah.
My first thought is not... Unless it's The Rock, like...
You know, I'm going to hold off on mine for now.
No. Do your celebrity.
Fine. Mine was going to be one of the originators that actually first WrestleMania, and I was going to put in Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
Because he was a part of the first ever WrestleMania, the main event. And not only that, but not just for WrestleMania, but a lot of stuff he also did with wrestling as a boxer, you know, the match with Antonio Inoki and stuff like that. So he actually did other things that helped promote wrestling. So for that, for his contributions, yes, he wasn't an actual wrestler, but for the contributions that he made, he definitely deserves to go in. And that would be under celebrity wing.
So we've both had two choices off our list now. Next up for me, I went with... Now, the reason why I really wanted to put Bobby and Gorilla in as a team is I have another manager on my list. Because I have the Sensational Sherry on my list. I think her role in WWE changed the way that the entire audience and the entire federation look at women. Thank you, Electro. There would have been no Sunny if there was no Sherry. There would have been no Sable if there'd been no Sherry. Until Sherry came along, female wrestlers were seen as...
Let's be honest, they're viewed as kind of like bathroom breaks at certain shows.
Yeah, but they were also seen as like Moolah, Mae Young. And there's nothing wrong with either of those two. But
Sherry, they weren't taken seriously.
She changed the game.
Yeah. She made women taken seriously.
Yeah. And I would have her inducted by Ted DiBiase.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mainly because most everyone else she ever managed is dead. Just being honest.
Yeah. So
otherwise it would have been the Macho Man inducting her, quite obviously.
Right. So for this person, the reason he is not my headliner is because of who I actually picked to be my headliner. Mm-hmm. I have Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Okay.
You know, and it's actually interesting, you know, going back, watching the stuff on the WWE Network and people going, oh, Hogan's like the biggest thing and all this stuff during the 80s. I got bored watching Hogan stuff, but I really enjoyed watching Macho Man and especially Roddy Piper. Like, watching Piper, I could relate to Piper more than I could ever relate to Hulk Hogan. And I think because of that, you know, he didn't have to win titles. That's the thing. He never won the big title in any promotion he was in. And yet he was still one of the hottest draws that you could bring into any promotion, whether it be WWE, WCW, you know, any of them. And so Piper, I love Piper, and look at who he's also inspired besides Ronda Rousey. But, you know, his style of Edge also could be inspiring. You know, not, I'm not sure if he said it or not, but that type of attitude, look at it in Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I have Piper being inducted by Hulk Hogan. Because why not have your greatest enemy or rival induct you into the Hall of Fame?
Okay. So next for me would be Hulk Hogan. He's an automatic include. Regardless of what has transpired in his life the last few years, and what I said about him last week when everyone was on the biopic train, he does deserve to be in a wrestling Hall of Fame. Because what he did for the wrestling business is unprecedented.
It put it on the map.
Yeah. And I would have him being inducted by Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
All right. So for the record, I'm just writing who we're inducting. We're not writing who's doing the inductee.
Okay, that's fine.
So, next up on my list for... I actually decided to go with women.
Uh-huh.
And I am actually going with Mae Young. Because you can't have a Hall of Fame without Mae Young in the Hall of Fame. I mean, sure. What she's done. I mean, the fact that she was going to literally wrestle till she was 100.
I mean, that woman gave birth to a hand.
Like, but the thing is that, like, if you watch the Mark Henry documentary and he talked about the stuff he did with Mae Young. Yeah, like, she was just a gamer for anything. And, you know, for Mae Young, who would induct her? Stephanie McMahon.
Fair.
Because Stephanie McMahon literally grew up with Mae Young almost like a grandmother.
Yeah. All right, so we've done, what, 4 each at this point?
1, 2, 3, 4. I've done 4, you've done 3. Technically 4 because you also had Bobby the Brain Heenan, but you've technically done 3.
All right, so my next one is a controversial one.
And it wouldn't be Austin Mania without controversy, Ben. Come on.
It's someone I genuinely believe WWE Hall of Fame. And it's not Owen Hart. It's not the British Bulldog. It's Eric Bischoff.
You know, he definitely does belong in the WWE Hall of Fame. And I actually do agree with that.
There is a reason... I'm gonna pull it up just because there is a, like, and I'm not saying that I was a big WCW fanboy back in the day, right? I'm not saying that I watched that over Raw or anything like that, but there is a reason. This is my phone. I genuinely believe the period of time where he and Stephanie were in charge of Raw and SmackDown was magic.
Oh, it was beautiful.
I loved everything. And more power to him. He did do all the stuff in WCW as well. Right? But to be willing to put all of that aside and then work for Vince and do so brilliantly. Right?
And a running gimmick that he had was that he was outlasting every other SmackDown general manager, too. Yeah. Because by the time he got fired, they had gone through Stephanie, Heyman. I think at one point they had Kurt Angle.
To induct Mr. Bischoff, I would call on DDP.
Ooh, that's a good one. All right. So... I'm getting into my 5th pick now. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually taking one from what should be in the current WWE Hall of Fame going into, and that is the Hart Foundation.
Yep.
Bret Hart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and Jimmy Hart. Definitely a very, very strong tag team, one that traveled very well from Calgary all the way to the WWE. Multiple tag team titles, great rivalries too. And then, yep. And then obviously later on after they broke up and then they got back together, the New Hart Foundation and what they're able to do with that faction.
Yep.
But this is more about the core team of Bret and Jim and Jimmy. And I would have, I would actually have Davey Boy Smith's son do it. Harry Smith.
Harry Smith?
Yeah, I would have Harry Smith do the induction.
Well, you've done your tag team, so I guess I should do my tag team. All four of them. Because I am inducting, and if anybody knows me, you know the three words I'm about to say. The Fabulous Freebirds. Michael Hayes, Buddy Roberts, Harry Gordy, Jimmy Jam Garvin.
Can't go wrong with that at all.
Nope. And there is a toss-up. Now, I could have Kevin Von Erich induct them because that's what they did on WWE. Right? They had the Von Erichs do it.
Well, it also made sense because that was the hottest rivalry, right. Too.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm flipping the script a little bit. I'm having the Revival in WWE.
That makes a lot of sense, too, because they have that old school mentality to them. That makes a lot of great sense. All right. So,
we should both have two left.
Yes. 14. So, I kind of went with a co-headlining.
Okay.
So he wouldn't close out the show, but he would be the second to last on mine. And that would be the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Okay.
Dusty Rhodes, obviously, he transcended a lot of things. You know, like when everyone's like this big muscular body and stuff like that, he was able to just come out as who he was and the personality, the charisma. You know, that he brought, and he could wrestle a fucking match. He really could.
Okay.
And not only that,
we will stand to disagree on that point.
But then, not only that, but the knowledge he put into NXT and developmental. Like,
that's true.
Yeah. Like, he poured his heart into the business, and the business pretty much loved him back. And he is like one of the people that, for me, automatic lock has to be in the Hall of Fame.
I actually disagree. I'm not the Dusty fanboy that everyone else is. Sure, he could cut a good promo, but his matches weren't great. His work ethic was bollocks. You are talking about the only man, when I went back and rewatched old NWA TV in the 80s and 90s, right, on WWE Network. You are talking about the only man ever to win the television title and never defend it on TV. His work ethic was atrocious. His matches weren't great, but his charisma was off the scale. Right? He was lucky to have people to carry him to good matches. People like Flair, people like Harley Race, and others. Right?
Yep.
I am at complete I don't know why I other than my own two eyes, is I don't hold the regard that a lot of people have. Yeah, sure. He was great at a promo and he's great knowledge on to the NXT kids. Great. But I wouldn't have taken match advice from him.
So, And then for me, for inducting him, I went the WWE route on that and had his sons do the induction. Yeah, Gold Dust and Cody. Because it makes sense for that one.
Okay, so I have one headline. Right?
Yep.
This isn't my headline. This is my penultimate inductee, right? And y'all know who it's going to be. It's the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
So Rick is your headliner?
No.
No, okay, not the headliner. All right.
This is my penultimate.
Penultimate, all right.
My headliner, someone you will not see coming.
All right, so who do you have?
What do I have to say about why Ric Flair's in the Hall of Fame?
Because he's fucking Ric Flair.
Fucking Flair, right? As for who's inducting him, pick someone. Like Harley Race, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Ricky Steamboat, Bobby Heat, like, and they could do an induction for Ric Flair. I personally picked Ricky Steamboat. I would have also chosen Dusty Rhodes.
Right.
But Dusty's not alive.
Right. So for my main headliner,
yeah,
Andre the Giant.
Okay.
I'm taking that your laughter is like, son of a bitch, I did that one too.
Just wait till you hear mine.
Oh, God. So I chose it, Andre the Giant. Obviously, he was one of the main reasons why the WWE created their Hall of Fame. He was the eighth wonder of the world. And, you know, what that man did, I mean, he was kind of long. He was alongside with Hogan. He was kind of like right alongside with Hogan with the massive explosion of professional wrestling. You know, and you can't. You know, and one of the things that, you know, was like, and we all look at WrestleMania moments, and what's the one of the biggest WrestleMania moments we always talk about?
Hogan slamming Andre.
Exactly. You know, so, but yeah, Andre, he was definitely, he also transcended how big guys wrestle in the ring, too. I mean, if it wasn't for like an Andre the Giant, maybe somebody like the Big Show would have never gotten a true chance, or the Great Khali, or some of these other really.
I kind of wish the Great Khali hadn't got a chance, but
that's another story for another.
I'm taking your point. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's another story for another day. But we get the point. And inducting Andre the Giant, I would have Vince McMahon, and do the induction.
Okay.
All right, so bring the tears of laughter.
Here's the thing, right? I need you to read the rest of the inductees, right? Because I'm always, because I built this night like in order.
All right.
Right. So I'm assuming this is the order that all the inductions would go.
Yeah.
Right. So let's read from the first to where it took to Andre.
All right. Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yep.
Gorilla Monsoon.
Yep.
Muhammad Ali.
Yep.
Sensational Sherry.
Yep.
Roddy Piper.
Yep.
Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
Mae Young.
Yep.
Eric Bischoff.
Yep.
The Hart Foundation.
Yep.
Fabulous Freebirds.
Yep.
Dusty Rhodes.
Yep.
Ric Flair.
Yep.
Andre the Giant. Oh, God. I'm afraid. I'm very fucking afraid.
And headlining above all of those legends, William Regal.
There is rumor that he might go in this year.
It's not about that. But okay, first of all, Finley would be inducting him.
Okay, which makes sense.
You know, but this is the Awesome Mania Hall of Fame, right? This is the Ben Taylor and Michael Lindenbaum and maybe guest one day Hall of Fame. And none of anything I've ever had to do with loving wrestling would have happened without William Regal. Because I remember when I was 5 or 6 years old, going to the Portsmouth Guild Hall in Hampshire, England, which holds like 100 people, paying like £3 with my mum and my dad for a front row seat and getting to watch Stephen Regal wrestle local legend Tarzan Johnny Wilson. And that was where it all started for me. Right? That night, I got to see the Liverpool lads, one of whom has become quite infamous because he's Robbie Brookside in NXT. I remember getting to see just every month I'd save my pocket money. All my other friends would be buying like Hot Wheels and action figures, and I'd be saving my money and I'd buy a front row seat to the wrestling, and I'd buy a large Coke and a bag of popcorn, and I'd just sit there and I'd watch Stephen Regal and Dave Finley wrestle to 45 minute submission masterclass draws, and I'd cheer the faces and I'd boo the heels, and I'd get right in their faces. And none of my love of wrestling over the last 35, 36 years would exist if it weren't for William Regal. So you're damn right he's headlining the first ever Hall of Fame I get to put together. In fact, you know what? Fuck Finley. I'm inducting William Regal.
Well, after that story you just told, damn right you should be inducting him into the Hall of Fame. And you know what? We're going to make sure after this, and when we release the episode, we're going to tweet William Regal and say we're inducting him into the Hall of Fame.
Okay. One of the things I really hope to do one day is actually meet Mr. Regal. Like that is a bucket list. Like meet him now, be able to.
Hi, how are you?
I'm legitimately crying right now. Be able to meet Mr. Regal and look him in the eye and tell him what his work has meant to me over the years and how much it's informed who I am. That is a bucket list item for me. It would be the ability to meet him and just,
it would be fucking awesome.
Just say thank you. Maybe buy him a pint.
I thought he doesn't drink anymore.
It doesn't have to be a pint of beer.
Ah, that's also true.
I didn't say a pint of beer, I just said a pint. It could be milk, water, soda, I don't give a shit. I just want to hopefully one day get to say thank you for everything. So yeah, William Regal is the
headliner of headliners.
Headliner. Like everyone else tells these stories about why Stone Cold is the greatest of all time, or The Rock is the one that got them into wrestling, or CM Punk. Mine's William Regal.
See, for me, the ones that got me into wrestling was obviously around the time of that Armageddon Hell in a Cell match. It was the Hardys. The Hardys and Lita, because it was something so different.
I'm not going to lie, I was genuinely surprised the Hardys weren't in your Hall of Fame.
Yet.
But the Hardys are what Regal was to me. right?
I have the Hardy save simply because I knew with this first go around, I wanted the Ed Hart Foundation in, and I didn't want to put in two tag teams. Yeah. So like the Hardy, trust me, the Hardys, Edge and Christian, Dudleys, they're all on my list to eventually be put in. Some sooner before others. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but Ben, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Real quick, because we are near the end, good sir, the social medias.
Yes. Can we talk about the thing yet?
The
thing you messaged me about on Facebook.
The thing.
Given the name of the.
You mean that convention thingamajiggy that we?
Yeah, given the name of the podcast.
So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Children of all ages, the Generation X is proudly presenting you its tag team champions of the world, me.
And Mike. Are bringing Awesome Mania back to Awesome Con for the 7th year in a row. Date and time to be determined.
Yeah, we haven't gotten the actual schedule yet.
We're going to find that out in about 2 to 3 weeks.
We also want to give a big shout out to our boy, Phil.
Phil Stamper.
Who's going to have a Rise of Pro Wrestling panel at AwesomeCon as well.
I think it's about the rise of
the growth of indie promotions. So I'm expecting our panel to have a lot of talk about AEW, especially since Double or Nothing will be on the horizon at that point.
We're right after WrestleMania and right before Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
We got to talk about it, but we're technically scheduled to have an episode the day before AwesomeCon, but Avengers Endgame is coming out that day too, so we might want to talk about that.
I will say that we may not have an episode the day before AwesomeCon, because we may just want to record AwesomeCon.
Oh, we're recording AwesomeCon regardless.
Because there is a reason this show is called Awesome Mania, and that is because the panel at AwesomeCon is called Awesome Mania. Yeah. So, yeah.
But when we do get a date and a time, we will put that out there to everybody. A Facebook event will be created as well for it. And that'll also be up on the website for everyone to go to immediately. So if you want to click, yeah, I want to go to AwesomeCon. I want to see these guys live in person. Click going.
And just let us know.
Yeah.
If you're going, let us know. What we'll do is if you're going, just come up, and we'll come up with like a phrase you can say, and you can get like a limited edition free convention high five or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I might be able to get some Awesome Mania stickers made up in time or something like that. Yeah,
maybe.
Some business cards with Awesome Mania on the front, Ben giving you the middle finger on the back.
Oh, the other thing to note is the panel will not be 18 plus.
Yes, it will be PG-13. Yes. We won't be cursing, but that's perfectly okay because
we will be doing plenty of cursing, but it won't be actual cussing. It will be things like, I'm saying the word WCW. Or, I have to talk about the great Khali now. Which is like cursing. Or, I have to have a controversial opinion that I like something that somebody else doesn't.
Don't say.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you got Phil Stamper with the Rise of Pro Wrestling. Us returning for the 7th year. Well, the panel is returning for the 7th year in a row. You're returning for the 7th year in a row. This is like my fourth or fifth year on the panel.
Depends whether you count that 1 year that you were supposed to replace Ben and he showed up late.
Yeah, I that was the greatest. I was Ben Penrod's seat warmer. I'm sitting right there next to Mike Jones. I introduce myself. In walks Ben Penrod and I go, all right, everybody, I'm going to sit in the front row now.
Speaking of Mike Jones, do you have a date for...
Okay, so I have in fact recorded the episode of What You Playing with Mike Jones of DC 101. We recorded it this past Sunday. He said that it'll be out in a few weeks. Ooh. So he will let me know either that, or he'll just tag me on Facebook randomly and go, haha, here's your episode. But I also threw an ultimatum to Mr. Jones by saying he can come on this show, but one person has to go on his, and that is you, Mr. Taylor.
Yes.
I even said that on his show. It's like, you can come on to our show if Mr. Taylor gets to go on to yours.
Yeah, I'll... He messaged me about that and asked me what I was playing. So, and we had a very interesting conversation on Facebook, which I don't want to spoil because it may overlap into the episode. But it was an interesting philosophical conversation because I said I was looking forward to a game that was getting awful reviews. So.
All right, and I talked about Soul Calibur, but we also talked a little NHL, a little WWE, because obviously Mr. Jones is a huge wrestling fan himself.
Yeah, yeah. That old Mike Jones.
And also, I want to throw this out there for our panel, which you and I will talk about this more off-air, away from Twitch and everything like that. We usually have multiple people on the panel with us, depending on the date, depending on the time. Mm-hmm. It could have a few scenarios of either just Ben and I together, or we could have one to two other people with us.
I think there will always be at least a third.
It depends on when we are.
Depending on when we are, it will depend on who the third is.
Yeah, because I've had a couple guys already come up to me and asking about the panel. So, yeah. But we'll talk about that off air.
I'm still convincing to... I'm hoping to convince a good friend of mine and yours to come on stage with us. I don't want to say who it is, but
you'll tell me off air.
Yeah, I might put it out on the Twitch stream.
Ooh.
Anyway, let's finish recording.
Social medias.
My social media is at Bob T Goldfish on Twitter. Hit me there. You can also find the channel on at 321 podcast or Three Topics Two Guys One podcast on Facebook. Mike?
Yes, and for everything Awesome Mania, you can go to txhthockey.com/awesomemania. We have our own section there. We also put up a blog post. We have an archive. We will also be creating a subsection for the Hall of Fame that we just started today. You can also catch me on Twitter at thelindenbaum75 and Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. And with that, also, I just have to throw this out there real quick because I just looked over at the Twitch stream. Lady Stardust T, thank you for watching us.
Yeah.
I have to throw that out there on the actual
back
podcast.
Back to Russia.
Yes. So, with that, Ben... our undisputed champion. Thanks again, as always, my good friend.
And hey, it's my pleasure, man.
And as always, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, we will see you ringside.